For the past 3 weeks on Sunday mornings, we've been exploring the idea that we as human beings have multiple intelligences. So along with cognitive, emotional, physical intelligence, we find that we also have spiritual intelligence, which can be developed through committed and consistent practice of the many skills that make up spiritual intelligence, which we've been exploring. One woman that has dedicated her life to bringing this understanding to both the business environment as well as to faith communities is Cindy Wigglesworth, author of SQ21, The 21 Skills of Spiritual Intelligence. And in response to the interest that we've had from our community here about this series, our licensed Unity teacher, Sharon Dwyer, has agreed to facilitate a study of these principles, a study of the book. Yay, thank you, Sharon. And that's going to be starting in the beginning of July. Oh, perfect timing. We didn't practice that, really. What I have personally found to be most profound about this work for me is that when I get off track and find myself acting or speaking from a place of less than my highest self, my understanding that I'm starting to gain through this work helps me kind of pinpoint and see, okay, that's because, you know, I've probably got this underlying belief here about this or about that. And it keeps me from beating myself up. You know how we do that, the woulda, coulda, shoulda on ourselves. So it just helps me reframe it and kind of step back and say, okay, I need to work on this. I need to practice this. And it does bring you that greater sense of peace. That's all it's about. It's about reframing our underlying beliefs to help us move into the highest expression that we want to be in this world. So, before I go on to this week's fourth quadrant, I just want to remind you that Wigglesworth defines spiritual intelligence as the ability to behave with wisdom and compassion while maintaining inner and outer peace regardless of the situation. Wouldn't that be great if we could all get there? What a different world that would be. But it's also about just being at peace with where we are on that journey and just supporting us, supporting each other in this community for those times when we mess up and we fall short of that, and lovingly helping us keep going on that path. So this week, we're getting to the fourth quadrant, and that quadrant is social mastery and spiritual presence. It's the fourth and final quadrant. And perhaps it was a desire to personally manifest some or all of these skills that got all of us onto this spiritual journey, that said, okay, I want to look at this spiritual aspect of my life. So whether it was last week or 50 years ago, who among us would not want to manifest these skills? Skill 17, being a wise and effective teacher or mentor of spiritual principles. Skill 18, being a wise and effective agent of change in this world, being a leader in this world. 19, making compassionate and wise decisions. Skill 20, being a calming and healing presence. And skill 21, being aligned with the ebb and flow of life. So as we go through this series, it is rare that one of us could just instantly have this desire and then manifest these particular skills all the time. So it is about keeping that commitment to practice and study and develop these skills. So, being a wise and effective teacher is the first skill we're going to look at today. We're actually just going to look at three of them. So, being a wise and effective teacher or mentor of spiritual principles. So, don't discount this skill just because you think you are not a teacher. Everyone in here is a teacher. If you are a parent, you are certainly a teacher. As human beings interacting with other human beings, we are constantly teaching what we believe about our values, what we believe about being the presence of love or not in this world. This morning, Gary sang Teach Your Children, which was written by Graham Nash to remind adults that when we condone societal actions, either by not responding or by approving societal actions we don't agree with, then we are actually teaching our children that those actions are acceptable to us. He reminds us we are all teachers. As I was in search of the artwork for this week's bulletin, I knew I had landed on the perfect picture when I came across this quote from Jim Henson, with a picture of Kermit the Frog photoshopped next to his statue, one of his many famous characters from Sesame Street. And the quote reads, "Kids don't remember what you teach them, they remember what you are." So while many children do not remember some of the words of those famous Sesame Street characters, they certainly remember how those characters showed up in that community of Sesame Street. Everyone here is a teacher. Just by listening to someone or being fully present to someone, we are teaching people what we believe about their value in this world. I love this quote from the poet Khalil Gibran. He wrote, "The teacher who is indeed wise does not bid you to enter the house of his wisdom, but rather leads you to the threshold of your mind." Lead you to the threshold of your mind. Unity co-founders Charles and Myrtle Fillmore did not set out to create a denomination called Unity. What they wanted for people most of all is for them to come into a personal relationship with God. Whatever that relationship was meant to be, they didn't want people believing in a dogma or a creed just because someone else said it was true. They wanted them to ponder those teachings. They wanted them to be in that silence, to be in that place of prayer and oneness with the God of their being. It was Myrtle that focused on the children's ministry, and she believed the real curriculum for the youth of this world was not found within any teacher or book, but rather within the lives of the children themselves. To her, it was not about pouring principles into children. It was about creating the space, creating the curriculum to allow them to come into the fullest expression of who they individually are meant to be in this world. She was taking them to the edge of their understanding and inviting them to blossom. So I ask each one of you, who are your spiritual heroes? Who are the teachers that have come into your life and called you out to be your highest and best self? People often cite similar characteristics about these heroes. We tend to admire people who have great integrity, who are selfless, who are courageous, loving, calm, visionary. So I invite you this week to think about who are your spiritual teachers that have called you out, invited you to come higher. And what I want you to realize is that those very traits that you recognize within them, those very traits are within you. And asking ourselves, okay, what is my next step individually to bring myself into the greater expression of that very trait? Whether it's being a leader, whether it's being an agent for change, whether it's being the presence of love or grace or understanding, it's there within us. You're being called to the edge of your understanding and invited to blossom even further. Right, skill 18, being a wise and effective leader or agent for change. So we are all potentially social change agents. Even if we are not involved in business or organizational change, we are undoubtedly in many other situations in our lives where we have the opportunity to be a catalyst for growth. Could be within our families. If we are consciously engaging with the development of our own spiritual intelligence, we are likely someone who wants to put what we learn into action for the benefit of not only ourselves, but for the world. So Wigglesworth invites us to look at that there are four aspects to develop within this skill. The first is understanding all the parties involved. So no matter what the change is, whether it's small, whether it's where something goes in the bulletin, David, and or, you know, something huge in this world. We have the opportunity to see the issue from all perspectives. Seeking win-win solutions. Sometimes we want to settle for, okay, I'm going to win and they're going to lose and they're just going to have to deal with it. But maybe we're not yet at the final answer. So maybe we just have to spend more time in that question of whatever it is we're trying to change and just come up with a better solution that's a win-win for all parties involved. Honoring the natural process. This can be really hard for me as a type A. Well, I'm kind of like working on not being so much a type A. But
A minus.
A, oh, thank you, Gary. Did David tell you to say that?
No.
And I think being here, you know what, being here has really helped me get this even more. Because I shared with a couple of you that I feel like this community is in this organic process. We're in this beautiful organic process of doing our work. You know, we're doing our work. We're moving into that greater expression of what Unity Church of Lawrence is called to be in this world. So many of us are, you know, doing that personal work to just keep us moving forward, just keeping it looking at where we're going. You know, not dwelling on the past, whatever that is, you know, just appreciating all the lessons we've learned from the past and moving forward. Moving forward, not necessarily within my time frame, not necessarily within anyone else's time frame, but just allowing that process to be organic is the word I think of. The natural process. And the fourth thing that she brings up that we need to develop within this skill is being egoless. So, being egoless. It doesn't necessarily mean that we have eradicated our ego altogether. In fact, our ego, a mature ego, is actually quite an ally to us in this process. What it means is that if we have an immature ego, that contracted, self-righteous inner voice that's fear-based and says we have to be right all the time or we're angry, it is not interfering with or undermining our ability to be an effective leader and change agent. That ego is not interfering with our ability to be a change agent if we can move in that to that state of being egoless. Because when we're in that angry self, it certainly is getting in our way of being an effective agent of change. So whether we are called to be this wise, effective agent of change within our families, our work environment, here at church, or on a national or international level, all the work that we each have put into our spiritual development will serve us as we answer this calling. So again, we can ask ourselves, what is my next step to develop within this skill? And I think about this in the aspect of church. Church here in America. No matter what denomination, many churches and places of spiritual worship are looking at declining attendance. So we get to look at that. Like, is it declining because we're trying to stay with old paradigms and not really responding to some issues that are up for people. Are we really giving people means of support on their earthly journey? So I find this a great challenge in a positive way. It kind of like keeps us on our toes. Like, okay, what programs can we bring in to help people, to support them on their life journey and their spiritual journey? Are we doing things the same way that we've done them for 20 years because it feeds people, or are we just doing them the same way for 20 years because we just haven't looked at other options? So I like this. I like being in the question. I think about, too, as far as change agent, our Uniteen group that's just getting restarted. I'm so excited for them about many aspects, but especially when they come to name what their social action project is going to be. And I trust that going through the process with their leaders, they're going to come to something that really speaks to the heart of who they are. And this community is going to have the option of supporting them on that challenge, supporting them in whatever's up for them to be called to change in this world. You know, and it doesn't matter whether they're successful or not. It's about supporting them and just letting them know that even if something they try fails, that at least they listen to their guidance. At least they were trying to be agents for change. And what's more valuable, and sometimes our lessons where we fail, is that we learn about ourselves and we learn another way to do things in the world. So I'm excited about being agents of change in this community for those Uniteens. All right, so our final skill we're looking at today is skill 21, being aligned with the ebb and flow of life. Life certainly is a process, an unpredictable and ever-changing flow. Cindy Wigglesworth likens it to a stream. So if we try to steer perfectly straight line down a stream, what happens? We run into rocks and twigs and all kinds of things blocking our way. But when we're willing to flow, when we're willing to be flexible in this life, our life goes so much easier. She writes, spiritually intelligent people understand this, and they learn to move with the flow of the life process, to draw on our own inner intuition, to have a sensitivity to all the clues coming in through our own bodies, and awareness of the world around us. It can show up as the ability to sense when the timing is right to act on something, or to discern that the obstacles are rising up for a reason, and it's really important to listen and change our path. Unity minister Reverend Eric Butterworth wrote, quote, when you are consciously in the flow of life, there is an effusion of light that manifests guidance as creativity. But it is not something that God out there sends to you. It is rather an expanded awareness of the true light in the presence of God that is already within you, as you. Another symbol from a religious tradition about being in the flow of life is from Taoism. It's the yin-yang symbol. It's all there in that circle. It's all one aspect of the whole. And there's one mystical saying in Taoism that the master does nothing and leaves nothing undone. It conveys the idea that it can be just a tiny touch applied at the exact right moment that can create perfect action. And yet to an outside observer, it may appear that nothing at all has happened. I bet you've been in that situation, both as the giver of that light touch and the receiver of that light touch. When you've been perhaps in a state of quandary or a state of anxiety, a state of unsured about your next step, and someone comes to you and they share the right and perfect word or sentence or feedback on something that you did, and it's like immediately you know, okay, I'm on the right path, or okay, I know I just need to make this little change. And I'm sure you've helped other people in that way. As guidance has come to you, you might call a friend and you don't know why, and just begin to talk with them, and they get that chance to express where they're at. And it's not you pouring your wisdom into them. It's like you've taken them to the edge. They have this opportunity to express who they are, and as they speak, they begin to understand and realize, okay, I know what my next step is, or okay, thanks for letting me just vent on that. I just needed to get over it. And you've helped them. You've been there and helped them with that ebb and flow of life. So we get to ask ourselves, what is my next step to develop in this area, in that ebb and flow of life? What am I resisting as far as a change in my life? Is it really going to take spirit, a 2x4, to get me to pay attention? Perhaps I've been called to step up to serve in some way or to help someone, and I am fighting it all the way. But yet, when we say yes to that ebb and flow of life, we're the ones that are blessed, and so is the world. So I certainly hope you've enjoyed this series as much as I have, and I'm actually really looking forward to Sharon's class, because I want to be in that class too and just be a student and just show up and, you know, get to work on some things more, because it's just fun to, maybe it's my analytical mind, you know, I'm a Sudoku kind of person. I want to, you know, figure out where those different thoughts go and all those different quadrants, and just realize that's what it's about. Reframing, being that presence, flowing, that it's us, our expression of the God within us that we're bringing forth in this world. So I bless you all on that journey. Thank you.